Hey guys, and welcome to my new podcast. My name is Nicole Gibson, and I've decided to make these podcasts more as an opportunity to be able to connect with you guys on a broader audience, obviously, but I want to keep them as casual as possible. So the way that these podcasts are going to be working is I'll put a post up on my socials every week, and I'll choose a question to answer or a topic that you sort of want me to dive into. So I put a post up earlier last week and said I'm going to use Anchor and start this podcast because Anchor makes it so easy. So what a legendary platform that's been the biggest barrier for me doing a podcast up until this point is just not sort of understanding how to do the edits and, you know, making excuses like time, etc. But there's zero excuses because this app just makes it so simple. So I put a post up and I said I'm going to start a podcast, and a fair few of you guys got back with different topic suggestions, and I thought it'd be really interesting to dive into the question, how do we see people beyond illusion? So how do we see the real person behind beyond our filters and our barriers and our limitations? And that's a pretty deep question to sort of dive into, so I'm excited to go into that today with you guys. I'm going to try and keep these podcasts short because I think it's a great impact. If I can give you, you know, 10-20 minutes of awesome content every week, I'm going to be happy with that. So where to begin? So I ran a seminar only a few days ago, and the topic that I really chose to dive into during the seminar was answering the question, how do we create meaningful connections? And when I saw that someone wanted me to speak on breaking illusion, I actually really feel there's a lot of synergies between these two topics. And in my seminar, I broke this question of how do we create meaningful connections down into three categories. The first category was, how do we move beyond unconscious bias? So when I say unconscious bias, what I mean is the judgments and the biases that we hold that often we don't even realize that we hold. And of course, this gets in the way of us being able to see who someone really is. If we hold these biases and these judgments and someone comes into our life, often we're seeing them through these filters, conscious and subconscious, that aren't actually relevant to that person at all. So that was the first element. The second element that I really dived into was, how do we champion our own emotions and how do we remain emotionally regulated? Because if you're not emotionally regulated, what tends to happen is that emotional charge is going to play out in dynamics with people, specifically people that we, you know, have in our lives intimately. And that can really affect, you know, emotion can sometimes or often really affect the way that we're able to see a situation objectively. So how do we remain emotionally regulated? And lastly, how do we accept someone? How do we genuinely accept someone and learn how to hold space for that acceptance, even when it feels difficult, it feels painful, and yeah, when we're getting triggered? Because without that acceptance for, firstly, ourselves, really, we can't actually see who someone is, again, beyond our own judgment. So they're the three things I'd really like to dive into in this podcast today. One of the things that I phrase in my most recent book, Love Out Loud, and also talked a little bit about in my recent TED talk, was this idea of realization, or to realize. And people often come to me and they say, Nick, how do I have a realization about blah? Maybe it's relationships, maybe it's work, maybe it's spirituality, but people are seeking answers. Yeah, that's why often people find themselves in my seminars and in my workshops, which is amazing. But what I find sort of humorous is, how do you expect to have a realization if you don't even understand, or you can't even understand what a realization truly is in its essence? So when you break the word realization down, what you'll see is the word real, and then you'll see the suffix, I-S-E, which means to see. So realization literally translates as to see the real. That's what the word actually means. And I think that's very applicable in what we're going to talk about today on this podcast, because if you want to be able to understand who someone genuinely is and break down your own judgments and barriers, then you need to be able to have that realization. You know, you need to be able to look for the truth in a situation. So let's begin with moving beyond our unconscious bias. And what does that truly and actually mean? So our unconscious bias is often fueled by the nature of fear. And I want to explain fear to you. So fear is in us because it's a survival instinct. That's why we experience fear. That's why we have fear. It's actually not a bad thing that we have fear within us. It's actually crucial, because if you look through our evolution, if we didn't have fear as a survival mechanism, then we wouldn't be here today. Fear is what activates all of the things in us neurologically and physiologically that allow us to escape threat or dangerous situations. Often in a modern day context, what I see is fear is sometimes misused, and that's because we don't actually understand where fear comes from. So fear, as I said, is designed to keep us alive, but when there's no direct threat that's actually coming and potentially threatening our life in this modern day context, then we start to focus this fear on things that are often quite irrational, but are all rooted in ultimately what is unknown to us. So if that, when there's someone that we meet and they're unfamiliar, their way of life is different to us, maybe they look different to us, we hold these things, biases, that are fueled by fear, because we're designed to be aware and somewhat frightened of the unknown, because unknown back in the day potentially meant our death. When it comes to each other, what I would love humanity to start to realize is we actually are one humanity, and the differences, and this is something that I see so much in my work, I see it over and over and over and over again, that our differences do not outweigh our sameness. Our sameness, our humanity, the love inside each of us is so far greater in essence than any of the minute differences in the way that we are as human beings. And these unconscious biases are ideas that maybe we grew up with in our families, maybe it was the society that we grew up in. Media plays a big role, and we create these ideas of who someone is, by the way that they look, maybe by their level of education, the way that they talk. And when we sense that that person's different from us, then what we do is we go into a fear state, and often we don't realize that that's actually the response to difference, especially when it's coming from a place of judgment. Judgment is allowing you, because judgment can sometimes feel empowering, and I see this a lot with people I work with, that if they're still at a place of judgment within themselves, if they're judging themselves, often a way to make themselves feel better is to judge someone else, but it's actually just a projection of what's going on in their own minds, and that judgment separates them from the people around them, and it makes them feel a sense of kind of superiority, even though that superiority isn't anchored in anything that's genuine. It's a momentary sort of I feel greater than, because that's the fuel that it stemmed in. That judgment is rooted in fear. The fear is a mechanism to help you survive. So if you're in that state of judgment towards yourself, that's actually helping you survive, to judge other people, to make yourself feel better through that judgment and comparison. And bias really fuels this. So one of the best ways to actually move beyond this bias, and it ties into one of the other points that I wanted to talk to you about, is to actually practice acceptance. And it really does start with the self. We treat others as a reflection of how we ultimately feel about ourselves, conscious and unconscious. If there's things about who we are that we haven't yet embraced, that we struggle to accept, that's going to come out, that's going to play out in our relationships, because ultimately it's an insecurity. It's a part of us that isn't whole. So we reach for the relationships around us to try and fulfill that void that's in us, but it will never feel satisfying because it has to start with the self first. In fact, if someone comes along and tries to love a part of you that you're yet to love about yourself, there's a great chance, there's a really, really big chance that you're actually going to avoid or reject that person's love because it goes against your belief systems about you. So moving beyond unconscious bias to practice acceptance and to actually practice awareness, start to become aware, you know, catching yourself out when you judge is one of the greatest practices of awareness that you can offer to yourself and also to the other people in your life. Because everyone's judgmental, we all have judgment. It's just some people are more practiced at being able to observe their judgment and not buy into the judgment. Meditators call this becoming the observer, observing your thoughts, not buying into your thoughts, not attaching to your thoughts. So next time when you see someone, a friend, or you meet someone new, or you're in a situation, maybe it's just a social situation, and you find yourself nitpicking or judging, maybe just try and take a step back from that and actually be curious. In my book, I write it as, on the other side of judgment is curiosity. If you can practice curiosity, it will automatically move you to a deeper place of acceptance, because you're asking questions like, why does this person trigger me? Why am I judging this person? What are they bringing up in me? It's a far more conscious way of interacting in your relationships, but also just in life generally. Okay, so number two, self-awareness and emotional regulation. How do we stay emotionally regulated in our relationships and learn how to hold space for someone and not make it about us? Depersonalizing things is another massive thing that gets in the way of us being able to genuinely see who someone is, see beyond our own illusions, and actually get to the core of someone. So what I've seen in facilitation specifically, and also a lot with my coaching clients, is people struggle to remain emotionally regulated, often because they're in a state of blame. And I want you to have a think about this for a second. Even over the past 24 hours, how much have you blamed external circumstances for something that you were feeling? Maybe you came home and your partner hadn't done the dishes and you blamed them for not doing the dishes, but really it's because you were feeling highly strung, you were feeling stressed. Maybe you blame someone in the traffic for cutting you off, thinking that they're a dickhead. Maybe you blame someone at work for, a part of your work where you had underperformed. You know, we all have examples of this, and blame often is often a default for many people because they haven't actually learned to step outside of blame and take full responsibility for themselves. And without that responsibility for yourself, you will not be emotionally regulated. The word responsibility means the ability to respond. That's actually what the word means. So when you're able to respond more to your environment and your reality, then you can step out of blame and you can actually be proactive. When you're blaming things outside of you, what you actually are doing is disempowering yourself. You disempower yourself through the lack of ability to respond to your environment. So you move into a state of blame. One of the greatest hacks that I've ever discovered was actually what the nature of blame is. And through understanding that nature, you're able to actually transcend it. So what blame is anchored in is actually the communication of a need. So when you blame someone, for example, you come home and your partner hasn't done the dishes and you say you never do the dishes, you're the reason I'm stressed. What you're actually communicating is, I need to feel supported by you. I need you to care enough about our home to invest in it just as much as I do. So you're communicating a need. So in relationship, if you can understand that blame is actually a gift, blame shows you your needs, but it also, when other people are blaming you, it shows you what their needs are. If you can move into a conversation and communicate to the need and step out of blame, then you can be proactive and you can be constructive. Because if you go into a relationship and you blame someone else, that's an attack. 99.9% of people are going to jump straight into defense. That's human nature. So if you can approach that situation and feel that blame rise up in you, but actually ask the question again, practicing that curiosity, what is my need in this situation? You're going to be able to actually work through and resolve whatever that is a lot more consciously. Okay, the last one. So how to accept. I think this really can be broken down into a deeper conversation around what it actually what's required to accept someone. Because it's all well and good to sort of say, yep, I'm an accepting person, or I should be more accepting, which is what a lot of my participants and clients say to me. How do I be less judgmental and more accepting? And what I've seen is it comes down to this ability to practice acknowledgement and presence. If you can learn to acknowledge, genuinely acknowledge what you see in other people, and this is a sacred practice for years and years and years, before Western culture, before the promotion of individualism, acknowledgement was actually in the center of our communities, the center of our tribes, to honor and acknowledge what that member of our community was truly, truly known for. We really have a breakdown in that of that acknowledgement in modern day society. Because acknowledgement is, I call it a sacred practice. To look at something and really deeply acknowledge it gives us the ability to really know that person or that situation. And it also gives us an ability to transform and to change. Without acknowledging something, it's impossible to grow and change and evolve. You know, that's why when most people find themselves in ruts and negative cycles, it's because they're actually in some space of denial or avoidance. So to actually step into acknowledgement gives that person the empowerment and the ability to progress forward. A basic example of this is if you are trying to lose weight and you're in denial about what you're eating every day, there's no way that you're going to be able to lose weight. If you're in a relationship and your partner feels really unseen and unloved by you, and that triggers you, so you go into avoidance and you actually withdraw more and deflect, then you're not actually acknowledging the parts of the relationship that need work. You're not going to be able to change or progress. And this really does get in the way of us seeing someone for who they truly are. When we go into pride, defense, avoidance, deflection, and we don't acknowledge what's truly present, then it's impossible to see beyond our own filters and our own illusions. So how do you get better at acknowledging? Again, it starts with the self. To actually sit, this is for me why meditation is so powerful, because when I sit and I see the things that rise up in me, and often they're not uncomfortable, sometimes they're not, but often they are, there's that space and silence and reflection with myself that I'm able to practice acknowledging the things that feel a little bit uncomfortable. And if I was distracted by day-to-day life, I probably would just put it to the side and not really give it the time of day and the presence. This is why when people go to meditate for the first time, they're like, I fucking hate meditation. It sucks. My head's so loud, etc., etc. It's uncomfortable. I feel irritated. That's because there's so much that's rising in you that you haven't yet given space to really acknowledge and be present with. That's why it feels uncomfortable. So the more that you do that, it actually, your head will start to quieten down. You'll start to feel more comfortable. You can create this space in relationships. If you want to be more conscious about it, just create a space where you actually have the intention of coming together and fill that space with acknowledgement. I often do this in workshops with groups of people. It's simply called an acknowledgement circle. I bring people together, and the intention for the space is to actually acknowledge, be present, and honor what it is the group see in each other. It's a powerful practice. It sounds really simple, but it's actually ridiculously powerful. And you can practice that firstly with yourself in meditation, but you can also practice that in your relationships. Try it with a friend, try it with a family member, try it with a partner. Maybe you are going through something with a friend. Actually try and reach out, or a relationship in your life. If you're going through something and you don't know how to navigate beyond that, maybe just try reaching out and saying, hey, I'd really love to sit down with you and have a proper conversation and give you full presence so that we can acknowledge what's truly going on and figure out a way forward. It's almost so simple that people don't think to do it, but intent and acknowledgement is crucial if you want to see beyond those limitations in relationships and see beyond the illusion of your own filters. So they're my three things for you guys today on how to see people, how to see the relationships in your life beyond your own illusions. I hope that was helpful. Keep writing to me and asking me questions, and I'll see you, or at least I'll talk to you in the next episode. Thanks, guys.